this point. You know, it's good to be home. I haven't seen some of y'all in a while. Some of y'all, it's only been a couple months. Unfortunately, I had to deal with Dan and Joey all week at camp. Randy, I have to see him every week, so I ain't worried about that. This morning, this passage we're going to be looking at is one of encouragement. And I really believe that with what we're dealing with, with what's going on in the world right now, we need a little bit of encouragement. As children of God, as people of God, we need to remember the fight isn't ours to fight. And the fight has actually already been won. You see, this morning, we're going to be looking at the beginning of the final words that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. Now, what we know about Paul and Timothy, what we know about their relationship, is Paul trained Timothy in the ministry. There's many times throughout Paul's letters that he refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. And there's been times that I've compared my relationship to Randy as he is my Paul and I am his Timothy. Whether how true that is or not, that's up to somebody else to decide. But you know, and I'll just be honest with y'all, because y'all are family. I'd say probably the last 6 months have been some of the hardest months for me, ministry-wise. But I read this passage, and I read other passages, and it's enough to keep me going. And this morning, I want to give y'all some of that same encouragement. I've entitled this message this morning, Never Give Up. And Joey, don't worry about it if you can't get it. Never Give Up. And we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And I encourage you this week, read the entire fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. I mean, it's only 22 verses. But what Paul tells Timothy in this chapter, in this last bit of his last letter to him, before he's executed, is so huge. And actually, I preached a series through this chapter. And it was great. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1, and it says this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This morning, if you don't get anything else out of this, get this one thing. The main focus we're going to have is no matter what happens, keep preaching Jesus. It's not just the job of the preacher. It's not just the job of the pastor to preach. But it is the job and it is the duty and responsibility, whatever word you want to use, for every single saved child of God to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Because there's people that you can reach that I can't. There's people that you can reach that Randy can't. It is our job as Christians. If we profess to know Christ, if we profess to be followers of Christ, it is our job to live that way and to keep preaching and to keep teaching. Because these times are here. When people don't want to listen to the truth, people don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear, thus saith the Lord. They don't want to know what's in the pages of this book. They just want to know what makes them feel good. Folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most offensive message ever made, ever preached. But it's the only message that can change hearts and change the world. This morning, we're going to look at four things in this passage. We're going to look at preach the word. Always be ready. People don't want to hear the truth. Keep going to fulfill your ministry. This passage is one that's preached a lot at ordination services and even at seminary graduations. However, this passage is not only for the pastor, but for the church member and for the Christian as well. Yes, Paul is talking to Timothy, who is like his son in the faith, but what he is saying is so true for you and me today. Sometimes things aren't as easy as we think they should be. Sometimes it's easier to quit than it is to keep moving forward. What Paul is doing here in these last few words is that he is telling Timothy, he is trying to encourage him. He's trying to tell him to keep moving forward. Don't stop. Keep preaching. Keep going. Keep doing the work of an evangelist. But why should we preach even if the people don't want to hear it? Simple, like I just said just a moment ago. It is the only message that can change someone's life forever. You want to see churches become on fire again? You want to see churches be a bright beacon of hope for people in the community again? Preach Jesus. You want to see Christians change the world? You want to see this country get back to God? Preach Jesus. It's the simplest message, but it's the most powerful message. And if we don't preach it, who will? If we don't share Jesus, who will? Paul didn't tell Timothy that he didn't already know. I'm pretty sure that these things that Paul talks to Timothy about in this last chapter, he has taught him many times. He has told him, he has warned him about the people who won't hear the truth. I mean, Timothy was probably with Paul when he left cities because they didn't want to hear him. I mean, there's times they rejected Paul. I mean, you can look throughout second half of the book of Acts, and you can see Paul's ministry. You can see the persecution that he endured. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 11, and you can read about the persecution that Paul endured from his own mouth. But yet, he's telling Timothy, keep going. Don't stop. One of the things that instructors and friends and mentors that I'm close with at the seminary told me after they heard that I resigned the church I was at, said, don't stop preaching. And you know, this right after I resigned, I thought I was going to take 2 weeks off. Not go to church, not preach, not do anything. Just take 2 weeks. Tuesday after I resigned, I get a phone call from a friend of mine saying he's been exposed to COVID. Could I be on standby if he can't preach Sunday? That next week, we were in church. It's funny how God works sometimes. But it's only funny because we actually pay attention. We don't take the time, all the time, to step back and look and see God working. I still don't understand why everything happened the way it happened, but it's not meant for me to understand it right now. The only thing that I need to know right now is that I don't need to stop. The only thing you need to know right now is no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through in your life, don't stop following Jesus. The roads may be tough. The road may be hard. Actually, not maybe, they are. As Jesus himself said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But he goes on to say, take heart, for I have overcome. See, even though we face persecution, even though we face hardship, we don't have to face it alone. That's one thing that Paul tells Timothy later in this chapter, is that even though everybody forsook me, God stood beside me and strengthened me and gave me what I needed to complete my ministry. See, when we preach the word, when we stay with God, He gives us what we need to complete our ministry, to complete the work that He has set out for us. So we see this in verse 1. We see, preach the word. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Paul starts off by stating whose authority it is that he's giving Timothy this charge. It's not by his authority. It's not by the authority of the Church of Jerusalem or Antioch or any other entity. He says, I charge you therefore before God. We have God-given authority. The authority doesn't rest on us. The authority is not in the church. The authority is in Jesus. And we have been sent out by Him to act upon Him, while act in His place. We see here that Paul charges Timothy. He reminds him of his authority in which we preach and teach. There is no way that I could get up here and preach under the authority of Zach Ehrman. Ain't no way. Because I'm nothing. I'm nobody. God is somebody. And it is with God's power and God's authority that I'm able to stand here and proclaim the name of Jesus to you today. Many people in our work today think that the authority has been given to the church, but Jesus clearly states at the beginning of the Great Commission, all authority has been given to me. Nobody else. To me. And it is through that authority that He sends us out. It's through that authority that we baptize, that we teach, that we preach, that we lead people to Christ. We don't lead people to the church, we lead people to Christ. That's where the authority lies. And then He goes on to say, preach the word. The word is the gospel message, the only thing that can save a person's soul. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this about the preaching of the word. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. People who don't believe, people who don't allow the message of Jesus Christ to come in and change them, it's nothing but words. To some, Jesus was nothing but a good man. To others, He's just a fairy tale. But to those of us who believe, Jesus is the Messiah. He is our Savior. He's not dead. He's coming again. It is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. The preaching of the gospel. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he said, when I came to you, I desired to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's no other message that can save. There's no other message that can change lives. Paul, when he was in the synagogues, when he was amongst the religious leaders, when he was amongst the Jews, he used the law, he used the Old Testament scriptures to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. But when he was in the streets, when he was amongst the common people, when he was with the Gentiles, all he did was preach Jesus and Him crucified. That's it. You don't need anything else. You don't need fancy words. You don't need eloquent speech. You don't need to make people feel good. The gospel message was given. Well, actually, the law was given to expose people of their sin, to show them that they don't measure up. But then Jesus comes along and fulfills the law, and actually completes it and abolishes the law. And now we are under grace, which says even though you don't measure up, you can still receive salvation. That's awesome. The next thing that we see, and we see this in the second part of verse 2, we see that we need to always be ready. It says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Preaching the word is the most important thing we can do. Preaching the gospel is the most, it's what we are called to do. And there's been times that Randy would tell me Sunday morning, oh, by the way, you're preaching tonight. Hope you got something ready. There was only a couple times I did it. But it did take long to put something together. But there's been other times people show up to places. Oh, you're preaching. Or maybe you're walking down the street or you're walking in a building and somebody asks you about Jesus. Are you ready to give an answer? Are you ready to tell people about Jesus, the one who saved your soul? You see, if you are a child of God, then it is your responsibility, it is our responsibility to share Jesus with those around us. It's not the job of just the pastor. It's not just the job of the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or the deacon. It is the job of every saved child of God to share the gospel with somebody. Sure, you may not know the scriptures, but do you know what Jesus did for you? You can share your testimony. You can tell somebody how Jesus died for you, how he forgave your sins, because the same thing that he did for you, he can do for them. Our testimony is one of the greatest tools that we have. When Paul stood before Roman officials, he told them about his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He told them about Jesus. But how do we preach? We are to be ready to preach. We are to be ready to share the gospel at all times. What good is a gun if it's not loaded? If you have to take the extra time to load it and to chamber a round, what good is it? Randy, if you're hunting and you don't have a round in the chamber and you have a 12-point buck come out, you're going to scare it off chambering around, aren't you? Got to be ready. Somebody asked you, why do you believe what you believe? Oh, well, this is what my parents believed. This is what my grandparents believed. Oh, this is just what we've always believed. This is what we've always done. Why? As much as it is important to know what you believe, it's equally important to know why you believe it. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Always be ready to give. Give a defense. I mean, the best way that we can share the gospel with somebody is to answer questions. I love it when people ask me questions about what I believe or about what I practice. I actually have a degree in it. But if we're not ready, we're going to fail. We're not going to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. We're not going to be able to do the things that we are told that we need to do. Because see, even though we can preach, even though we can share the gospel, if we've been given enough time to study and prepare, but yet we're not ready when somebody asks us, or it's like, oh, hey, why do you believe this? Oh, well, I'm sorry, I don't have my Bible with me. I can't tell you. Or I don't have my notes in front of me.
see, especially in our world today. Especially with what's going on in our country, in our world today, it is even more important that we know what we believe and why we believe it, because look at the way things are going. It's not cool to be a Christian. It's more about what makes you feel good. What makes you happy? What makes me happy is knowing that when I pass from this life, I will be in the presence of God Almighty, and I will be able to spend eternity with Him. That's what makes me happy. That's what makes me feel good. It doesn't matter about all this other stuff. And see, Paul even warns Timothy about this. He says this, starting in verse 3. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, but they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." We have seen things like this all the way back to the fall. All the way back to Genesis chapter 3. We have seen evidence of people doing this. I mean, why did God flood the earth? Because the people were so wicked that they had turned their backs on God, completely rejected Him, didn't even think that He was there. So God destroyed them. God wiped them out and started over. But the sin was still in the world. Things got bad. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people, turned their back on God. Because of it, they were punished. Because a parent who loves their child will punish them when they do wrong. God loves us so much that He will punish us when we do wrong, but at the same time, when we are doing right, He will reward us, just like a loving parent should. He did that. Even though the people were wicked, even though the people turned their backs on God, He still sent them a Messiah. He still kept His word. Paul's given Timothy a warning of things to come based on what he has seen in the past. The saying goes, history is destined to repeat itself if we do not learn from it. Folks, I believe history is repeating itself now. I believe with what we're seeing is the same thing that they saw in the period of the Judges. And it said, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in their own." You look at what's going on in the world today, and it's the same thing. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a downer here. I'm just being honest with you. That's where we're at. Is people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that Jesus Christ can change their lives. They don't want to do it because they like what they're doing. They're comfortable. Or they even go to the extent of saying, "Oh, me and God got an arrangement. We got a deal. I do what I want to do. He does what he wants to do. And we're all right." No. And then we got those people who proclaim to be preachers. All they do is give you messages that make you feel good. They tickle your ears. They tell you what you want to hear. That's one thing that I've always loved and respected about Randy. And Randy, I know you're watching this, because you've already commented on it, telling me to preach short. Well, that ain't going to happen. Randy's never pulled punches with me. He's never once told me what I wanted to hear. He's always told me what I needed to hear. I may not have liked him when he said it. But later on, once I realized what he was doing, I respected him even more. See, that's the thing, is we can't just tell people what they want to hear. We have to tell people what they need to hear.
And people need to hear Jesus. They need to hear the truth. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy to do. He's saying, I'm done. I've completed my race. Now it's time for you to get going. Here's the torch. Take off. And that's exactly what Timothy does. Because see, this is nothing but a tool. People turning away, ear ticklers, whatever you want to call it. This is nothing but a tool used by Satan to get people to turn away from God. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, we have a very strong enemy. And he's an enemy that you and I cannot take on ourselves. We're not strong enough. It doesn't matter how well versed we are in the scriptures, we are not strong enough to take on the devil by ourselves. The only one who is God. You see, throughout the Bible, there are passages that deal with what is to come. These are prophecies. Jesus even deals specifically with what's going to come at the end in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. And he talks about a great falling away, or as it actually says, an apostasy. These times are coming, and I believe these times are close, if they're not already beginning. But when they come, are we ready to still stand on what we believe? Or are we going to go the way of the world? The last bit of encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy after giving him this warning is he encourages him to keep going. We see this in verse 5. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul instructs Timothy to keep his eyes open and to be on guard for the things in which he has been warned about. I mean, Paul sends Timothy to Ephesus. You flip over to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. What's the first church of the churches of Asia that's mentioned? Ephesus. What happened there? They were once a church that was on fire for God. They tested preachers. They exposed false teachers. But then they lost sight of what was really important. And they turned away from God. It's easy sometimes to get caught up in the work and forget why we are doing what we do. It's easy sometimes to miss the forest through the trees. But we've got to be on guard. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep watching. Paul is trying to give Timothy as much instruction as he can. He is trying to tell him, look, you're going to face these things. You're going to face hardships. You're going to face trouble. You're going to face persecution. You already have with me, but it's going to get worse. Keep going. Don't stop. Can you imagine what would have happened if the Apostle Paul would have stopped the first time he was persecuted? The first time he was ran out of the city, which was actually Damascus, right after his conversion. He had to be let down out of the wall, well, out of the window in the city wall at night to escape. Can you imagine what would have happened? Paul would have quit. Paul would have said it's not worth it. He didn't. He kept on. He kept going. Kept pressing forward. The next thing in this verse that he says is to endure afflictions. We're going to be beaten. We're going to be torn down. We're going to be terrorized. We're going to be persecuted. But Jesus told his disciples, they persecute you because they first persecuted me. Paul said this in Philippians. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Second Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 22, it says this: "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, who is weak, am I not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation." That's just a little bit. That's just a snapshot from the mouth of Paul, the persecution that he endured, the afflictions that he went through. Why? Because he knew the power of the gospel. And I think oftentimes we lose sight of the power of the gospel. I think oftentimes we lose sight of just how big and how strong God is. How God can take a lowly shepherd boy and make him a king. How God can take an outcast and make him a great and mighty prophet. God can do a great and wonderful work in our lives and in our churches if we will get out of his way. But the biggest thing stopping God and the biggest thing stopping us from doing what God wants us to do is us. Paul's telling Timothy here, Paul is telling us to keep going. Keep fighting, keep pushing, keep pressing on. There's a song by Building 429, and it says this: "I am a mess, I am a wrecking ball. I must confess that I still don't get it all. Lord, I believe that all your words are true. Doesn't matter where I'm going, if I'm going with you." If God left us on our own to do his work, we'd make a mess of things. I know I would. Because I do. But he didn't leave us alone. Just like he didn't leave Joshua alone. See, the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples as he ascended into heaven was, "Lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." That promise that was true for them is the same promise that was true for us. The writer of Hebrews said this: "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." That means that the same promise that God gave to Joshua when he took over the command of Israel, that he was going to be with him always, and the same promise that Jesus gave his disciples, that he will be with them always, is the same promise that he gives to you and to me today. We, as children of God, have the promise that he will be with us always. Even when we feel like we are alone, God is right there. Even when it feels like we are in a dark pit and we can't see the light of day, God says, "I'm here."
Even when we're broken, even when we're down, even when we're depressed, God is holding us saying, I love you. You are still my child. And I will take care of you. That's why we need to endure. That's why we need to keep going. Because see, when we stop, we die. When we stop growing, when we stop learning, we die. But as long as we keep pressing forward, as long as we keep moving forward, we're all right. But the thing is we got to keep moving forward in the will of God. We can't move forward in our own will. We can't move forward in the will of our country, in the will of our world. We have to move forward in the will of God. And that is going to mean that we have to take on the toughest course there is. And that is proclaiming to be a follower of God in a godless world. If anybody, like we just talked about it, anybody knew hardships, it was the Apostle Paul. Almost every place he went, he had some sort of persecution. There was always an uproar. I don't think Paul ever went to a city and left peacefully. I really don't think there's not a time in that. If I'm wrong, please show me. But see, even though there are tough times ahead, the best thing that we can do is hold true to the truths and to the promises that we find in the Word of God. Because there's nothing that's going to last. Prophet Isaiah said, if grass withers and flower fades, the Word of God remains. Long after we are gone, the Word of God will still remain. I mean, these words that we're reading this morning were written over 2,000 years ago. But yet we still have them. We still have the words that Paul put pen to page and wrote to Timothy. But see, here's the thing. God may send us to a place where they won't hear a single word we say, to where their hearts have been hardened to the gospel. But we're not to leave until God moves us. God called Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. And oftentimes when we read that or when we hear that taught or when we hear that preached, it's more on the first six verses where we see Isaiah's encounter with the archangels, well, with the seraphim and the cherubim, and his encounter with God. But what we don't pay attention to a lot of times is what's said in the following verses. God has called Isaiah to go to a people that will not hear him. And he asks this, how long am I to stay there? And this is the response he got. And this is Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 11. It says, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet, and it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Keep preaching until there's nothing left. You see, Scripture also tells us that if we all forsake the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ, if we all stop preaching and teaching, then the rocks and the trees and all of creation will cry out. Fulfill your ministry. Keep going. Don't stop. What we see in the next couple verses, verses 6 and 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, is Paul saying, I'm done. I have fought my fight. Kept the faith. I finished the race. Because of that, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. I hope that when I get to the end of my life, and I hope when you get to the end of yours, that you can say, you have fulfilled your ministry. That you have kept the faith. That you have fought the fight. That you have finished your course. I hope you can say that just like I hope I can say that. But see, here's the thing. Maybe you're here this morning, or maybe you're watching live on Facebook. You don't know Christ as your Savior. That's where it starts. Because as Rich Hamlin teaches us in homiletics, you can't preach what you don't know. How can you preach the message of Jesus if you don't know Him? That's where it starts. So we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would love to introduce you to the one that I call Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've been going through some tough times. And you've been trying to bear it on your own. You've been trying to take care of it, go through it by yourself. Did you stop? Did you come give it to the Lord today? Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, come to Jesus this morning. I'm going to ask that we all stand as we prepare for an invitation. I don't know your hearts. I don't know your lives. But it doesn't matter what I know.